discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Nothing ever seemed to come easy for Levi Shepherd. By age 17, he'd suffered a life-threatening illness, an absent father, the loss of his mom, and staggering betrayals from those he thought he could trust. He was homeless and he was wandering. Levi longed for something or someone to call his own. Desperate for love, he found acceptance in a street gang. And there he rose through the ranks to the number two spot, defending its leader. Levi was hurtling down a road that could only end in prison or death. And then God entered his story. Levi details his riveting story in the new book, Millennial Orphan, Trust Your Struggle, God is Stronger. And it's just out this month. And we feature his story today on the road. Levi Gideon Shepherd lives in Minnesota, where he continues to study and write. He also educates people in self-defense. And we're thrilled to have him here with us today. Levi, a hearty welcome to you, sir, and a great day to you as well.
Hey, thanks, brother. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, take us back to the beginning, if you would, Levi. Sketch out what it was like for you growing up in those early years.
My mother was a single mom raising two kids. I had a half-sister. She kind of had a bad run for a few years with men. You know, we ended up just, you know, in the inner city of Kansas City, you know. She was working at a gas station at night when I was like a toddler and relying on food stamps and whatever we could do to get by. And then when I was 4 years old, I developed a limp. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night just projectile vomiting and screaming. You know, my bones, they felt like they were on fire. And it wasn't long after that that I was diagnosed with, leukemia, pediatric cancer, and a really aggressive form of that. And so at that time, my mom was like, oh, great. You know, what do I do? And it was definitely a kind of a testing moment, you know, just even at 4 years old to be like, hey, here's something that could just wipe you off the face of the earth if you're no more.
Yeah.
And, it drove my mom to God. You know, before that, I didn't have, you know, really any serious memories of, you know, Judeo-Christian values. I mean, I would hear my mom pray. But that really, that got my mom, you know, and that's kind of where I can see looking back where it's like, even in the face of, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it's like Psalm 23 says, you know, the Lord is my guide. He leads me beside still waters. And, you know, my mother was an absolute rock for me during that time. Some of the operations as a kid, you know, you'd have to lay up on a table in a fetal position while they're sticking a needle in your spine. And I had a lot of chemotherapy to my nervous system. And, you know, have to lay in a ball to have the spinal tap to get that done. And my mom would always just drape her super long blonde hair across the table. But she was behind me and over my face, and I'd clutch it like a security blanket. And you kind of look back and, you know, there are little spots along the way that even when things were rough, even as a child, you know, God was saying, hey, man, I'm here. You know, nothing will tear you from me.
Well, you write powerfully then about your mom's passing at a much too early age and the devastation that you felt. What happened specifically to your faith in God after you experienced that loss?
I told God I didn't want to talk to him. my mom had an aneurysm, cerebral hemorrhage, and put her in the hospital. And I began just writing frivolous notes on a drawing pad. Kids write letters to Santa Claus. Well, I'm like, well, you can't mail a letter to God. You know, God can see what you're writing. I'm like, God, please don't take my mom. You know, and I knew that God had spared me from cancer, and I knew what death was because I saw friends pass. I'm like, God, don't take my mom. And I had never, with all my being, even as a kid, I was, you know, 2 weeks from turning 10 years old, I had never, just everything in my being cried out to God, God, help me. Don't take my mom, you know. And I can't say that that answer fell on deaf ears. But my mom, she did pass. She didn't make it. And it destroyed our family. I mean, my family went separate ways. All the relatives went separate ways. And it left me kind of just, you know, looking at the sky with a clenched fist, being like, why, you know?
Sure.
And it really just, I shut down, you know, and then I began, you know, getting passed around from relative to relative. It was not a convenience to take a kid. They kept my sister, and I eventually went into foster care.
You battle this youthful bout with leukemia. You have to lose your mom and go through that as well. And Levi Gideon Shepherd, who joins us here on the road today, he's written down his story in the book Millennial Orphan. Trust your struggle. God is stronger. But then at this point, you really have the onset of a series of betrayals, of abuse, even homelessness, caused by folks that you thought you could trust and those you prayed would offer you a loving home. Speak to some of those experiences, Levi, that you faced as a foster child.
I know there are good foster homes out there. I know there are good foster parents. I know that there are people in the foster care system that have great hearts and they love these kids. But, you know, I'm 12 years old. I didn't get a choice of where I got to stay, you know. I just was picked up by a social worker one day getting off the school bus in seventh grade, and it just began this pattern of moving and transition and constant change where, you know, you're a kid, and it's, you know, kids that are in foster care system, it's not like their life before entering foster care system was perfect, you know. Mine was because of cancer and death, you know, my mother, and then, you know, a lot of these kids get taken out of homes that are drug homes, you know, meth labs or drug dealers or, you know, organized crime. And I kind of got the short end of the stick. First foster home, I was there for 3 months and got pulled out of because it was overcrowded. Second foster home was abusive. I was there for 3 months. And then the third foster home, which was a long-term foster home, was severely abusive. In a way, I really kind of opened it up and shared, but there's things that, you know, even as a grown man, I don't feel like I can talk about, even as God is healing them. You know, just like I can't even put into words the kind of fear and abandonment I felt, you know. You know, I ended up four middle schools my seventh grade year, and then I entered that third foster home, and I was there for almost 4 years, but off two times during that 4 years, I ended up in a juvenile facility. The first time, my foster dad tried to molest/rape me, and I fought him off me and ran out the door. And in the foster care system, foster parents get financially rewarded more so if a kid is labeled behavioral. And I ended up in a juvenile facility for 90 days, and then I was sent back to the same foster home. Even though I had asked to go to a different foster home, my caseworker at the juvenile facility had said, hey, send Levi to a different place. And that fell on deaf ears. You know, the system only has so many homes and too many kids. And so I went back to the same foster home. And the abuse got so worse, so much worse. And then I ended right back kind of in my own boneheaded mistake. I fought a kid in the neighborhood standing up for another kid. And I went too far. I was kind of angry. There was a lot of anger inside. Instead of just throwing a couple punches, I went too far. And I really hurt the kid. And ended up being sentenced to 12 to 24 months at the same juvenile facility. And it ended up doing 13 months. And I came home, and it was just, at that moment, the abuse was so severe. I knew that if someone or something didn't intervene, I was going to die, or my foster dad was going to die. I saw the Lord working some strings later in life. I can see now that God was pulling the strings behind the scene, and some teachers at my high school stepped up. The school resource officer, the police officer at the school, stepped up and encouraged me, hey, if this is happening and the system's not helping you, you're 17 years old. You can run away, and as a cop, I don't have to go find you. Told me from a police officer standpoint of how to escape the system and how to fall right in that crack, and I ran away. I got home and I heard the voice of the Lord as a, I didn't know who it was at the time. It was a still small voice. And I was like, hey, run away and come to me and don't look back. And I'm like, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm leaving. And I left and I ran away and I didn't go back. And I was 17. That was the second semester of my junior year in high school. And eventually within a couple months, I ended up being homeless, sleeping out of friends' cars, camping out in the woods, you know, going to high school, camping off a bus route and taking the bus to school, showering in the locker room before class. And because I was a foster kid, I got a free lunch, you know, a provided lunch from the state, pays for it through the school. And that's how I survived, you know, and I got a part-time job outside of school and just kind of kept working. And that was kind of, you know, I didn't know what was in front of me, and I was scared. But I knew that even though the uncertainty in front of me was so better than the chaos behind me, and it kind of propelled my feet, and it gave me motivation to continue on.
You detail in the book, Millennial Orphan, Trust Your Struggle, God is Stronger, as we talk with Levi Gideon Shepherd here on Faith Radio. You speak about how you really were just desperate for love, and at one point then you join a gang and rise quickly through its ranks to the number two position in the gang. Take us into that time, if you could.
So right after I'm homeless, September 11th happened. I was a senior in high school. I'd already wanted to join the military since I was a little boy. I've always been gung-ho, always been patriotic. And the next day, some recruiters were at lunch, and you know, I walked up to a recruiter, and I said, I walked up to the Army recruiter specifically, and I said, sign me up, you know. He's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, frankly, I want to kill the people who did this. And he's like, we all feel the same way. And so that started my relationship with my recruiter. And while, you know, recruiters have a bad reputation, you know, sometimes justly and sometimes rightfully. So my recruiter was a solid guy. I mean, he's one guy I look back, and I'm like, you know, wow. He really helped me get established and helped me become a man. Unfortunately, my Army career didn't last very long. I got banged up in airborne school. I had enlisted in the Army, option 40, and had a Ranger contract where I was going to go to RIP right after airborne school and try to become a Ranger. You know, I always felt at that time, you know, everybody encouraged me, hey, this is going to be no problem. If you can survive cancer and abusive foster home and be homeless and still stay in school, you got this kid. This is going to be a Boy Scout camp for you. But I got banged up, and it opened the door to my recruiter, bless his heart, had not out of malice, but he had kind of not disclosed the fact that I'd had cancer to the Army. He believed in me. He saw my potential, and he wanted to make sure there were no roadblocks. And unfortunately, the Army is like, hey, man, you can't have had cancer, specifically the type of chemo you had. You're kind of a ticking time bomb. True. So they gave me an honorable medical discharge and crushed me. I was so, I mean, that's what I wanted to do. And for the first time in my life, I'm 17, 18, and I feel family. The guy is in the bunk beside me and you know, as we're marching in our PT uniform, that was my family. It destroyed me to have another thing ripped out of my life where that's where the gang came in. You know, I came back, went back to Kansas City where I'm from. That's the only thing I knew to do. And I went right off the deep end. You know, I started running around with guys selling drugs and just, you know, I was pretty hard at the time, you know, where it's like, dude, I don't care what happens to me. And, you know, the leaders of the gang noticed that, and I quickly got paired up with the leader and was his little buddy, you know, as we kids from the 80s used to call the little my buddies the little doll. Well, I refer to myself as a my buddy with a gun. And I used to just pal around with him, and I named him Darius in the book. That's not his real name, obviously, you know, and I became his right-hand man. Wherever he went, I went. And, I palled around for almost 2 years until when I was 20 years old, we had a falling out, a pretty massive falling out, put a gun in my face, and I walked away. And in that process, one night, I just heard very clearly the Lord out loud, audibly ask me, when will you ever change? And I wasn't high, I wasn't drunk, I was totally sober, I wasn't on any pills, and I just sat up in my bed. I wasn't asleep to begin with, I was just kind of laying there. And I heard him a second time, when will you ever change? And I just got these goosebumps, man, where it's like, okay, you know, I heard this out loud. I just, the third time, very softly, it was like a whisper, when will you ever change? And I just teared up, and it planted, you know, where God's word in Isaiah says, my word shall go forth and it will not return void. And it's like that moment, God planted a massive seed that 2 weeks later, I gave my life to Christ. You know, ironically, I was palling around with another lady I was, you know, I'll be bluntly, I was sleeping around with, and she was running from God and running from the church herself. And ironically, she took me, a guy that's dealing drugs and, you know, always carrying a gun on him, to the movie Passions of the Christ. And, you know, I really, really thankful to everybody involved in that movie, because here I am, just this punk thug, you know, and that moment where Jesus is hanging on the cross and the thief turns to him and is like, you know, hey, you know, he's admitting he wasn't perfect, but he's like, hey, Jesus, remember me when you get to where you're going. And Jesus is just like, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. I just lost it, you know. And even though that was a movie, you know, I grew up, you know, my mom showed me a little felt baby Jesus, and then there's the painting, you know, the little painting above my bed. But Jesus had always seemed, I knew who he was. I knew he's who you were to pray to. I knew who God was. I was raised in American Judeo-Christian values. Didn't mean it bared any fruit because I wasn't a disciple of Christ yet. But I saw the face and I saw the heart and the character of God portrayed in a way on screen that I could understand. And it left me undone. That night I gave my life to Christ. Not long after that, I was just like, I got to disappear off the face of the earth. And I abandoned my apartment, gave everything away, all my stuff. I threw it in the dumpster, gave it to neighbors, and I disappeared. And that's kind of where, you know, my life, that's when I became a disciple of Jesus Christ. I was living in a motel room on the other side of Kansas City. I dyed my hair a different color. I shaved my face, and I tried to blend in, you know, and just everything that I had been, I just let it go. And, you know, I was more afraid of God at that time than I was the people that I just walked out on. And that's, you know, where my life, literally, that's where I feel like my life began, you know, and that's when I was 20 years old.
Man. Well, it's the extraordinary story of Levi Shepherd. His book is called Millennial Orphan. Trust your struggle. God is stronger. Here on the Road for Faith Radio. And can you even express, I mean, after everything you've been through, the freedom that you finally found in Jesus? I mean, how transformational was that for you, just particularly from the path that you've walked?
You know, it's interesting, because when I was, you know, fresh a Christian, you know, fresh a disciple, I thought it was going to be this, I'm going to wear this bubble, I'm going to be absolutely protected, I'm going to go win the lottery, you know, and it didn't work that way. You know, I was homeless a couple times after that. You know, I've had some pretty substantial health issues for the past 10 years because of the cancer that I had as a kid. But it's like, despite what I've gone through, you know, I have learned who I am, and that, like Jesus says in the Gospels, don't fear who can kill the body. Don't fear what can kill the body. Don't fear cancer. Don't fear homelessness. And I can say that because I hate being homeless. I was literally kind of homeless when I was writing the rough draft of the book, you know. And but I have learned that no matter what, God's got your back. You know, he has your soul. And no matter what happens to you, you can be with him. You know, and that's how I left off. And I really just, you know, I just want to encourage people. And that's why I'm passionate about telling this story, is I can vouch because I've walked it. It's like, you know, I don't ever really puff out my chest and be like, oh, look at what I've been through. I kind of just am like, I tear up and I'm like, man, look at what God has literally gotten me through. I'm not delusioned as what has carried me all these days. It is the footprints in the sand. I can look back and see that in my hardest times, yeah, there was only one set of footprints, and it wasn't me. You know, it was God carrying me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can say that with everything that I am, because I've seen it lived out in my life, God living it out in my life.
Well, talk a bit about where life has you today, Levi, and specifically about how God has used this platform that you've had with this extraordinary story to really allow you to speak in a unique way into people's lives.
I'm kind of beside myself, literally, as, oh, wow, God, you're using me, seriously. Like, I've got nothing to offer, you know, other than I'm very stubborn, you know? And it's where I'm at, I live in Minnesota. You know, I bought a home 3 years ago. I literally went from being homeless to being a homeowner. You know, the economy was rough for everybody, and I was really struggling with some health issues. I didn't know what was going on, and then, you know, literally I moved from Kansas City, you know, God opened the door for me to come to Minnesota. There were some things from my past that had caught up with me. Nothing bad with any of my new friends, but it was like, hey, I need to move. You know, I was encouraged by some folks to move, and I came to Minnesota. I didn't know anybody in Minneapolis. And, you know, God just provided ways where it's like my publisher from Minneapolis, the doctors that helped diagnose, I've got mast cell disease, which stemmed from the white blood cell cancer. The doctors at the University of Minnesota, it's like, even where I left my book off where I'm 20, but it's like God is still writing stories in my life. He's still writing stories in your life. It's never over with God. You know, it's like, that's why the book of Acts ends so abruptly, because God's not done writing the Acts of the Apostles, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you know, God's going to continue. He is faithful to finish what he started, you know? And it's like, that's where I'm at now. It's like, I can't sit there and tell people, it's like what Paul said, I can't write what I write or say what I say like I've arrived. I'm still running the race. Like, God's got me, and it's like, I'm just encouraging other people to run the race with me, and I'm kind of totally just like, you know, people reach out to me, like I was saying earlier, and it's like, oh, wow. It's like, okay, God, I just open hands, man. Whatever you want to do, do it. I'm totally down, you know? So that's where I'm at.
Levi Gideon Shepherd, author of Millennial Orphan, here on the Road for Faith Radio. And I want to let you have a chance in just a moment to talk about how people can grab a copy of the book and follow your ministry as you continue sharing your story. But I wondered, if you could convey one message to your peers and perhaps those who have suffered similar things to what you have, what do you hope the message is that they take away from your story?
You know that God is stronger. I know that's cliche because I chose it as a subtitle, but that's why I did. You know, the phrase trust your struggle has gone mainstream. You see modern rappers tattooing it all over themselves. But it's like, really, you know, we all have our struggles, you know, just because, you know, I went through this, that's not unique to me. I just lost one of my best friends 3 weeks ago to stage 4 stomach cancer, you know, but that's like, he became like an uncle and a big brother to me. And it's like, but at the end, like, his last words were to me, don't be afraid, man. I know where I'm going, you know,
wow.
And that's what I would say to people, you know. That no matter what, because there's been moments when I've thrown a pity party and invited nobody but myself. But no matter what, God's never given up on me. And you don't have to worry about your own strength or your own faith, you know, because God's faithful. You're His child. Just because you're upset at Him or things don't make sense or you don't have the faith for the moment, forget about all that. It's about God, and God's going to do what God needs to do to get through to you like He did to me, because I'm super stubborn, you know, and that's what I want to say is, no matter what, trust. And even when you can't trust, like that guy said to Jesus, I believe God, this helped my unbelief. God's going to come through. Just be real with God. Tell him how you feel, even if it's ugly, even if it's not pretty, even if it's not quote Christian, just be real with God, because God's going to be real to you.
Man. Well, that is a great word to end on. Levi Shepherd has been with us. Once again, the book is called Millennial Orphan, Trust Your Struggle, God is Stronger. And Levi, the website millennialorphan.com, is that the best place to go to grab a copy of the book?
It is, yeah. It's got several online retailers. There are several common, you know, secular and Christian brick-and-mortar bookstores that you can go and grab a copy at. But yeah, millennialorphan.com. It'll also, my social sites that I'm active on and that I share, Twitter @LeviGideon, and then Facebook. There's a Facebook page for Millennial Orphan where, you know, I'm just kind of starting to observe this grassroots movement of, there's been a lot of people since I shared even the free self-published ebook where God, you know, God's bringing people from all walks of life, specifically the foster care system. And they're like, hey man, let's do this together. So totally reach out to me. I love making new friends, and I love hearing people's stories because it always fires me up. You know, people get encouraged when people share stuff with them, you know, and that's kind of why I did this. And I'd love for you guys to reach out to me. So,
Well, we're sure glad that you did share this story, Levi, and so grateful to you for spending some time with us here today on the road and sharing. Obviously, there's so many difficulties in the story, but so much hope. Thanks for being here, sir, and keep up the great work.
Right on, brother. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.